The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Joe Shea and Elaine Burke are with us for the week's TV and streaming. And Joe, I want to start with you because I believe you've got a complaint to make about RT's summer schedule. Are you not happy with all the football that's on at present?
It's not exactly a complaint, and this is not RTE bashing, but it does, I think, if you look at the schedules for this week and for the next few weeks to come, there's something very striking about it. And just tonight, right, after Nationwide, which is, I think, a really, really well-made and very popular show, after Nationwide is over at 7:30, it's all repeats all the way through to 10:30 when they have a big crime drama, a very good one called Under the Banner of Heaven, which I think people have been watching. It repeats the whole way.
Now, repeats like of said, what, for example?
Well, Nevin's Greenaway Food Trails, Room to Improve, Bog Amok.
Room to Improve is on in what will be considered the prime time spot at 9:30 straight after the 9 o'clock news.
Exactly.
But it's not a new Room to Improve. It's a repeat.
And if you look at the schedule, the RT schedule, RT1 schedule through the week, it's very, very repeat heavy in prime time, right? Now, what I think that tells you is, and I think people in RTE know this, they're not making enough TV at the moment. They're depending on these shows like Room to Improve to fill out the schedules and repeats of them. And they're also repeating shows that would not normally, I think, have been repeated a few years ago. Good TV, but not really necessarily mainstream, popular, primetime ready. And certainly not the second time around.
Okay, so Joe, I've not been smart in asking this question, seriously, and I don't want this been misinterpreted, but if they're not showing new content, what are 1,800 people doing in RTE?
Well, Matt, I mean, you know, how long have you got? You know, I mean, we've been through this, and you know, there are a lot of talented program makers in RT, and I think if you talk to them, and I have, and if you work with them, and I have, they'll tell you that in a lot of ways they've been stymied for a good few years, that it's been management heavy there, that the content makers haven't really been pushed to the fore. There aren't enough budgets, and they're not being spent in a very smart way. It's public service broadcasting, but it has been very bureaucratic, and the way they spend money as well may not be the most efficient way. If you're working private sector in media, you have to make that money go far.
Well, today that Steve Carson has been recruited back from BBC Scotland to become the new director of video, a new position which effectively takes in all of the television and streaming services, and he's an excellent guy. I know him, and I think he's an excellent appointment. Although you wonder where the money is coming from to recruit from outside. Again, if you've 1,800 people within the organisation, was there nobody within who could have been promoted?
Yeah, no, I think it's a very good appointment. It's an excellent appointment. He's been, you know, he's worked for the BBC for a long time, and he is a guy who can go in there and really change things around, because that's what they've got to do. And apparently they don't. They don't feel that they have it within house. They're bringing back Steve Carson, and he's got to go in there, and he's got a huge job in his hands now. He can do it, but he's going to have to basically rip up everything and start again.
Okay, Elaine Burke, are we being unfair to focus in on the number of repeats being shown by RT at this time of year? Is that not just the way television has gone, that other stations do exactly the same?
Oh, I mean, there's channels that are just playing the chase on repeat, and we do know it, and they do well. But I suppose, like, is there also maybe because of this particular week that's in it, is there also a sense of it's a little bit of holiday season because the schools have all wrapped up and it is a popular time for people to get away? And we've got
not everybody's gone away.
No, I know that. I'm just thinking, is there a logic to that? And maybe things are going to pick up, trying to, you know, give you a positive argument here. But it is strange that I'm currently watching the latest seasons of The Young Offenders on BBC at the moment, and it's not on the RTE schedule, and it's not going to be in the RTE schedule until next year. So there was content there, but they can't show it because of some difficulties they've had in licensing it.
Okay. By the way, The Bear, is that back? Has it started yet? Because there's a lot of advertising for the third series. Elaine?
It's back and it's brilliant. It's actually getting mixed reviews this third season, but I find that you'd always get that with The Bear because it's a bit of a strange show. For all of its popularity, it is quite avant-garde in its approaches, and it's described as a comedy and some people don't find it funny at all. I totally do. It is also very stressful to watch because it's set in the thick of it with these people working in a very fast-paced restaurant environment. But I've been watching the new season. I'm 4 episodes into the 10 episodes we have. It's definitely kind of is taking a different kind of tempo. It seems to be that this season was designed for a binge watch, and all of the episodes are all together for you there on Disney Plus if you do want to take that route. But I've been watching it one by one, and I do actually like savouring it that way, and I do think it's holding up for me so far.
Have you been watching it, Joe?
Yeah, I have to totally disagree here. I think The Bear, and it's after getting really, really scathing reviews, but it deserves it because, you know, I don't want to cram in some cooking analogies, but it's half baked, it's off the boil, you know.
Oh.
It's, yeah, sorry, but it's fallen flat like a souffle that failed to rise. But, like, it really is. It's for me, and the first episode, my God, is it, what are they trying to do? It's some sort of slow motion, atmospheric, moody, dark lit kind of recap of the first two seasons that doesn't go anywhere or do anything. It's like, here's the thing, right? They made, they shot season 3 and season 4 back to back, 20 episodes in 6 months, because they were in such a hurry to capitalize on the phenomenon that the show became. The last 10 episode series of Succession took 17 months to do, right? From being greenlit to actually being on. And they've done 20 episodes in 6 months. It's too much. It's really run out of steam. And part of the problem was The Bear, it was really propulsive TV. So fast paced, so full of tension. And it seems to have burnt out. That's what it looks like. It looks like it's just burnt out.
Okay. Let's go to your picks of the week. Elaine, tell us about Andrew McCarthy's Brat Pack documentary, Brats. Actually, before you do, I want to hear a clip from it.
If you could have the Brat Pack name not exist, would you?
It really irritated me. I said, what's more important to you, the movie or your life? And I said,
the movie!
Andrew!
Have you talked to the others? The others. Like, again, it feels like a cult or something.
Yeah. Why did we take it as an offense?
Well, as opposed to like the brat?
Because we were young.
We're afraid we were brats, you know.
Are you in the Brat Pack?
I'm Brat Pack adjacent.
That's what I was thinking.
I am not in the Brat Pack.
No. I signed you back in the debt.
You did not, Andrew. No, you did not.
Being in the Brat Pack not only changed all of our lives, it changed what entertainment is. I mean, I'm not going to say we were the Beatles or anything.
Well, we didn't fill Shea Stadium.
There were moments. We could have. 1985? I think we could have.
Elaine, the Brat Pack is my generation. Why are you interested in it?
Because I grew up in Ireland and everything from the 80s was popular in the 90s in Ireland.
Very true.
So, yeah,
on repeat again, but go on.
Yeah, but we've suffered through repeats for many, many years in this country. And it's interesting because it's like a Brat Pack documentary being made by a member of said Brat Pack, but probably the least present day famous member in Andrew McCarthy. I know him from Mannequin, which is a film that I absolutely loved as a kid as well. But it's got all the 80s nostalgia for me, I suppose 90s nostalgia that you'd want from this kind of a film. Even like the soundtrack, my heart is lifted just listening to that Simple Minds track kick in. So that's why I'm going to watch it. It's hitting Disney Plus on Friday, and it's something that's been much anticipated because it was released in the States a good few months ago and it did get some good reviews. So I've been waiting for this to land in the UK and Ireland for a long time.
Okay. And Joe, your pick, I'm going to play a clip from The Man with 1,000 Kids.
What if I were to tell you that there is a man alive today who may have fathered over 1,000 children? What kind of man would do that?
I always wanted to be a mom.
We wanted to have a family together.
A sperm donor is making up 50% of your child.
I got to know him on the internet.
He has curly hair.
We really hope that our kids have his hair.
We were totally sold. I'm ready to have beautiful babies.
9 months later, I had a baby boy.
But that wonderment was totally ripped from us. She said, your donor is quite famous. This guy is a serial donor.
How many? How many children do you have now?
It was a shock.
He lied.
There weren't four families or five families. There are already hundreds.
It's become an addiction for him. He actually can't stop himself.
It's a worldwide problem.
He has no intentions of stopping.
Why are you putting so many children on this earth?
Tell us more, Joe.
Yeah, this is a guy called Jonathan Jacob Meyer, and it turns out that he has forwarded, as the title goes, a three-episode, by the way, series starting tomorrow on Netflix. Real-life drama, and it really is drama. He's forwarded over 1,000 kids. He's a compulsive sperm donor, and he never told anybody that it was what was going on. And there are villages in Holland, apparently, where there's like 14 or 15 or 20 kids just from this man. There's been cases where half siblings have run into each other in schools and in playgrounds and worked out that they have, or the families have worked out that they have the same father, the same sperm donor father. And the really weird thing is nobody knows, is quite sure why he does it. He's a Walter Mitty character, he's a con man, he's a fraudster, but he's not doing it for money, he's not doing it for any great fame or anything like that. He just seems to compulsively want to have children. I think this is going to be a fascinating slice of life. It's on Netflix, starts tomorrow. It's called A Man with 1,000 Kids.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Joe O'Shea and Elaine Burke, for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.